Wrestle Radio Australia is a proud member of the FNX Network. You can find this show and many more at fnx.network. That's the new URL, fnx.network.
Hello, doggers. This is Jay Hunter from OSW Review, and you're listening to the Wrestle Radio Australia.
This is it, Andy!
My God, ladies and gentlemen, we have seen a
This is Brian Alvarez.
Oh,
this is the loosest in Australian wrestling, Adam Brooks.
The queen, yeah. The queen of the carpet.
Hey, this is Rocky Monero.
And there is no one that does it better.
This is five times the world heavyweight champion, the Scrap Daddy himself, Scrap Ryan Adam Pearce.
Hey, this is the king of the mountain, Jeff Jarrett.
You are locked in
to Wrestle Radio Australia.
Welcome to the show, folks. My name is Josh Armour. Thank you very much for downloading this week's installment, second installment, I guess, of Wrestle Radio Australia. Before we go any further, if you want to tweet us, give us your thoughts on the show while you listen, you can hit us up at Wrestle Radio AU, or you can find me at Josh JD Armour. Now, very soon on the show, we're going to be talking with Jared Slate from SHWA and EPW Perth, obviously over in Western Australia. It was actually recorded a couple of days ago, and it was recorded a little late at night. Didn't want to wake the wifey up, so I wasn't as peppy as usual, or as I am right now, but great chat, so stay tuned for that. Also, a big thank you to all of the new listeners that jumped on board since my chat with Soggo Pod's Frank Harris, and of course OSW Review's Jay Hunter, our most popular episode ever within just a few days, so thank you very much. Hope you enjoy the rest of the shows. And also, Australian Indie Wrestling on Facebook, check that out for info on all Aussie promotions. This Saturday, there's a heap of great promotions with shows on. You've got AWA in Queensland, Blue Mountains Pro Wrestling in Blackheath, New South Wales. Check out my chat with Robbie Eagles, he's the champ there. That was a couple of weeks ago on the show. TCW in Tasmania, PCW in Victoria, all holding shows this Saturday night, March 7th, as well as Wrestle Rock this Sunday at the Corner Hotel in Richmond, Victoria, where the Wedding of the Year will take place. And joining us at the moment is the soon-to-be, well, Mr. Brooks and soon-to-be Mrs. Brooks, I understand, Adam Brooks and Kellyanne English. Thanks for joining me.
What's going on, man? Sorry, Kel's not here. I just dropped her off.
No worries. Well, that's all right. That's all right, because I know that she's got things to take care of at the moment. Now, how are you feeling, mate? I know it's. I mean, you've won Warzone titles, you've won the RCW title, MCW tag team titles, but this is the biggest day of your bloody life, mate. How are you feeling?
Yeah, it's a different feeling to than going into a big match. That's for sure. I'm marrying the girl of my dreams in the middle of a wrestling ring, so it's going to be it'll be an experience. But we're both very nervous, but it should be good.
Now, this is, of course, yep, it's the Corner Hotel, Richmond, Victoria. So be there Sunday night. Do we know if there's still tickets remaining? Is there going to be any room left in the Corner Hotel?
I have no idea. I assume there would be. But, you'll just have to, any listeners will just have to come and check it out. There's usually, you can get a few tickets on the door, man, so it should be sweet.
Very cool, and Kel's all set, the bridesmaids are ready, and all the details are sorted. Like, we're not going to be rushing around at the last minute going, oh shit, the dress doesn't fit, or oh no, my hair's been ruined, everything's sweet, yeah?
I hope so. That's got nothing to do with me. I'll be working on my own hair and my own clothes and all that shit.
we're having a Bucks night. Is that tomorrow night?
No, it's Saturday. It's the night before.
Oh, Jesus.
Yeah, it's at Dreams Gentlemen's Club.
So that's just a shout out there to anybody that wants to buy Brooksy a shitload of beers Saturday night, I'm guessing.
Yeah, and, you know, we're going to have all sorts of guests. Mr. Juicy's going to be there. Rocky Monero, he'll be getting loose. He'll be there. Fletch is going to be there. They're going to have their championship belts on display because they're the Wrestle Clash World Tag Team Team Champions of the World.
Not just the World Tag Team Champions, but the World Tag Team Champions of the World.
Of the world. They're Fan Inkum. Like, they're the best tag team in the world, those two.
World class, you could say.
Yeah, they're the best. with Mr. Juicy there, you can only imagine, he's going to get up to it at the Gentlemen's Club.
Batten down the hatches and, ladies, just watch yourselves because you might be juicified come Saturday night.
Yes, I'm sure they will be.
Now, you've been wrestling in OCW a fair bit as well. I mean, it sounds like they've been going great guns. They've had a lot of great talent from around Australia, especially Victoria and South Australia. I know that much. And they've had folks like Robbie E down and whatnot. How's things going with OCW? Is it, it seems to be like there's promotions that are bringing in internationals and whatnot, but they seem to be doing it right. It really seems to be benefiting the local guys that get to work alongside them.
Yeah, it's cool, man. Like, it's a different place to anywhere else I've ever wrestled, but it's fun, and just having like the internationals coming in and chatting to us and giving us advice, it's very helpful for us. They don't bring internationals down, and it's usually like an international and then one of our talents. So that's good. So that our talents can learn a lot from the internationals, and then as of late they've been bringing down a few of the RCW boys, which is cool because I look at the RCW crew as like my wrestling family, so it's always good to see those dudes whenever they're down.
I know for a fact, Brooksy, that there was a couple of ladies in the front row that were really missing you the other night down at RCW. Hello, Beth. Hello, Megan. It's going to be good to see you back in Riot City soon.
Well, tell those two girls to hang tight because I will be back in RCW by the end of this year. I can promise you that. And I will be back to get my revenge on Chris Basso and that fat slog Todd Eastman.
Look out, Eastman. You're in trouble.
I'll probably struggle to get my hands around his body, but I can wrap my hands around his neck, that's for sure.
Oh man, I hope he's hearing this, and I can't wait for the day. That'll be a lot of fun, and I'm not the only one that's.
Don't edit this out. I want him to hear it loud and clear.
Oh, don't worry about it. I may even amplify it just so it's really, really cutting through. You know what I mean?
You edit these shows a little bit, don't you?
A little. I try and clean them up where I can. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, tell him he's fucked.
I reckon he heard that loud and clear. So let's get back onto the big day this Sunday at the Corner Hotel in Richmond, Victoria. You and Kel tying the knot. Now, can we expect any? You gave us a hint as to who would be at the Bucks party, but this Saturday night. But who is going to be in the wedding party? Any familiar faces as far as the groomsmen and the bridesmaids?
I think that's probably somebody, something to keep quiet.
Okay.
We did try to get a certain somebody as the best man, but he's busy doing his thing in some big company over in the States or some shit, so obviously that didn't work out, and he wasn't very happy with the announcement of the wedding. As soon as he heard about it, he rang me and he said that I've ruined my career.
I thought it was more so the fact that, like, mate, it's your bloody wedding and you're not going to invite a buddy along. You're not going to invite your best buddy. Like, you couldn't at least make this. You couldn't at least wait until Christmas. Like,
well, he had a gig, but he's got these contracts and all that shit now, so he can't be appearing anywhere else, or shit will go down. Obviously.
That's it. Oh, well, look, it is still going to be an awesome day. All the best to you and to Kellyanne. And, if you want to follow Adam Brooks, hit him up at TheAdamBrooksy on Twitter. That's where you'll find him. I'm doing your plugs for you even. So there you go. Sorted, mate.
Don't hit me up on Twitter. I don't have Twitter.
You stopped using it.
I don't use that. Nah, that was... we tried to give it a go, and I don't know how to use Twitter. So we had a mate run it for me, and like they ran it for like I don't know, like a month or so, and then like yeah so the best way to follow me is probably just at Facebook. So, Facebook.com/BookieBrand. You can follow me on there. I'm on Instagram under at BookieBrand. Just hit me up on there. Instagram's pretty sweet. I put up a really cool photo the other day, and I expected to get heaps of likes because I thought it was very funny, but it's only got like 23 likes. I was really disappointed.
Oh, only 23.
It was when I was in Sydney. I was wrestling for PWA, and we got this sweet hotel room, and it allowed me to sit on the toilet while brushing teeth. So I was sitting on the toilet nude while
brushing
my teeth.
I saw this, yeah.
It was such a good photo, and I was so disappointed that not many people saw it. So if you're listening, go follow me on Instagram. Actually, yeah, I need lots more followers because Cal keeps bragging about more followers than me, the bitch.
So, love and marriage. Love and...
I need me followers up so I can rub it in her face.
All right, Brooksy Brand. That's the Brooksy Brand or at...
No, it's just Brooks Brand.
Okay.
So chuck the little... You got to chuck that A thing in front, yeah? I think that's how it works.
That's the one, the old at symbol, yep.
Yeah, that thing.
Oh, mate, as a social media guru, I just love the fact that you become such a big star that you actually had people taking care of your Twitter handle for you. I think that is the sign that you've made it, mate.
Well, if you look at it, it's so old. It's like, but I think the last update was like, I think it was probably like my last match year. So they were just crapping on about that. And then like, they would write it in my slang, like, oh, fair dinkum blog got a thick win, like, all that shit.
Using the lingo, the Brooksy lingo, Brooks and Ease.
Yeah. Have you noticed that the word blog has become very popular within Australian wrestling?
I have noticed that. Just, you know, just occasionally it comes up. Not that often, but, you know, maybe 10, 20, 30 times, you know, on a show day. Maybe only that many.
Yeah, Ledge. I hear it everywhere I go now.
Ledge.
Yeah.
Oh, man. All right, look, dude, we're going to let you go because I know that you've been training and you've got to get prepared for your big day Sunday as well. That's, man, I tell you what, all the best with the wedding with Kellyanne. Hope that she makes it on time and all of that sort of jazz. There's no limos breaking down on the way to the corner.
I want to get it done. And then I want to consummate the marriage because we're going to reenact 50 Shades of Grey.
I hope that, look, if it does end up out there on the black market, footage of the thing, all I'm going to say is that we should maybe put up an auction and, you know, maybe donate the funds to, oh, geez, I don't know. More Whiz Fizz for Rocky.
I'm sure he'd love that.
Very cool. All right, Brooksy, take care, mate. All the best. And folks, check out at WrestleRock, #WrestleRock on social media for all the updates. If you can't make it to the corner hotel, if you're not in Victoria, but if you are in Victoria, you'll be a fool to yourself and a burden to others if you don't get there. It's WrestleRock this weekend. And thank you, Brooksy. Good luck, mate.
No whackers, mate.
I'll buy my song and I won't...
Shoot the Defence is the opinionated, entertaining football show with serious debates you're looking for. We have a variety of guests from ex-footballers to journalists, members of parliament to athletes. Every month, former Chelsea, Swansea and Brighton striker Leon Knight weighs in with his opinions on night vision. So tune in on iTunes, Stitcher, TuneIn Radio, shootthedefence.com and the FNX Network and let Stel, John, Mike and Stuffy give you a free football lesson. Follow us on Twitter at Shoot the Defence.
Alrighty, with me here on Wrestle Radio Australia at the moment, fans over in WA will know him well. He's wrestled for Southern Hemisphere Wrestling Alliance, EPW Perth, New Horizons, you name it. He's been all about the place and he's got some dates coming up, so we're going to talk about that, plus what he's been up to in his time in wrestling. Jared Slate, thanks for having a chat with us, dude. Appreciate it.
Well, thank you. Thank you for having me, Josh.
Now, how long have you been at it, as far as actually, you know, wrestling and being on shows?
Well, I debuted probably about March 2007, so that's, roughly about 8 years now.
And whereabouts did you actually start with your training? Like, was there a particular trainer or promotion that you started with?
Yeah, I debuted with All Action Wrestling here in Perth. You know, I found them just from a friend. Decided to go down, see what they're like, and you know, ran into the Shark or Andrew Carter, and he took me in, and you know, started training from there.
And what's the relationship like between the promotions at the moment? Because I know you sort of work for a lot of the different companies, and that's, I mean, I really love seeing that, especially down here in Adelaide. We're seeing a lot more of it, and in Victoria as well. It's sort of starting to happen with different workers appearing on different shows. Is there an effort over there to I guess work together and grow the scene, or is there a lot more sort of individuality between the promotions?
Well, it's the last couple of years, it's actually grown a lot closer. There was at one stage, obviously, it was, you know, everyone against everyone, but now it's like, yeah, we've gotten all closer now, so a lot of guys have got a bit more free will to go wrestle more often. You know, there's still just one that just sits there by itself, but, you know, we just try to do our best.
And Southern Hemisphere Wrestling Alliance, because I know we've covered EP Dub on the show before, but SH Dub, how long has the promotion been around, and which actual sort of part of Perth and WA is it located? Because I know, for instance, folks in New South Wales, there's promotions all over the place, but they're like an hour drive away from each other. Whereabouts are their main shows sort of located?
Most of the shows are actually closer to each other. In Perth, because they don't exactly expand out further to the regions like a lot of other states do. So they're actually, like, you know, within like 30 minutes of each other.
And EPW Perth as well, you're sort of wrestling for them. I mean, they've had, like, you know, I guess they've had sort of more coverage about the place because of, you know, folks like the TMDKs and whatnot, and then going overseas and then bringing the awareness back to there. With SH Dub, is there more of a sort of an effort this year to get the promotion out there to the people and sort of build the crowds up?
Yeah, it's slowly getting there. It's been going about approximately 6 years now, and you know, it's still very small at the moment, but you know, recently it has been expanding out and, you know, trying to reach out to the rest of Perth, just like as you, most federations trying to, you know, get their names out there, which is really hard.
Well, it is. That's the hard part, because we'll sit here and sort of think to ourselves, like, right, if, you know, every couple of years, if WWE comes to Perth or to Adelaide, because they mainly cover the eastern states these days, but if they do come here or go to Perth, you know, they're still going to draw at least 2,000 or 3,000 people, and it's like, okay, well, where are those people, and how do we convince them to get in the door and actually, like, support the local stuff? That's the hard part, you know, like.
Yeah. Like, there's a time when you know, you go there and try to hand out some flyers, and they just say, "Hey, there's local wrestling as well." And then they ask you, "Oh, you know, Batista going to be there, or John Cena?" It's like, "Oh, well, no," but, and they're like, "Oh, no, I don't want to see it." It's just like, "Oh, bugger."
And that's, I guess, yeah, folks who just watched, you know, just who are just used to watching Raw or SmackDown and get their dose of it here or there, or even just a few times a year. There's the casual fans that, yeah, they're there to see the big stars they see on telly. But there's, I mean, that's, you know, I guess what our show's about, you know, is getting all you guys out there and making people aware of it. And I think 2015 is going to be a really good year. And it does come back again, I guess, to what I said a moment ago with, you know, your TMDK. And that the higher their profiles get, it sort of brings that awareness back, which is pretty cool.
Yeah, well, you know, I believe that can happen. You know, like, there are some rocky years, you know, there have been some high points and low points with local wrestling. I do actually have a good feeling about 2015 myself as well. And, you know, let's hope it, you know, goes well.
And how did you get into, I mean, we talked about how you started wrestling with the Shark over at AAW, but when did you start watching it? Was it like most people, you're a kid and you watch some VHS tapes and you just get into it, or did you find it by accident?
Yeah, I was around the same. I had a friend who was, you know, loved wrestling, and you know, I wasn't into it just yet. But funny enough, he came to school one day and is ranting and raving about this man called The Undertaker who tried to kill a guy off the top of a cage. So I was like, oh, I'm intrigued by this. So we went back to his house, and yeah, he showed me the Undertaker Mankind Hell in a Cell match. And right there, I was just like, oh my God. I was just glued to the screen. I wanted to know more about The Undertaker, who was my favorite wrestler, you know. Once I saw that, it was almost like the entrance from the get-go, like, that just drew me in. But seeing that match and just everything, and then we watched the rest of it, and I was just glued from then.
That's one of those, I guess it's one of those things that even non-wrestling fans, but who were sort of growing up around that sort of late 90s period, like, everybody remembers the Hell in a Cell, you know. It's just like, it's so iconic, and watching that footage of Foley, I mean, it's amazing that he, with all the injuries that he suffered just from that one match, I mean, it's almost half the injuries that he had in his whole career was just from that one match. Just amazing. And Beyond the Mat, like around the same time as well, when Beyond the Mat was out, that was a revelation. You're like, oh, okay, this is how it's all done.
Yeah, exactly. Like, you know, it probably surprised everyone in the world of how well Mick Foley's career kept going from there. You know, he reinvented himself, so he didn't have to take such crazier hits and bumps all the time. But you know, he kept at it, and you know, he's now has a successful career. Now he's in comedy, and you know, he's got his life set, and you know, it's going really well.
Now, our buddy Tez, who always likes to give us the inside word, he let us know that you did some training over with Lance Storm in about 2008 or 2009. What was that experience like? And did you think it was, because some folks we've spoken to say that you know that they've progressed so much that maybe Lance's was a little how do I put it, in like an intermediate or almost beginner's class for them, but then there's some folks who actually found it really beneficial at a certain stage in their career. What was it like for you?
It was a kind of that, you know, beginner feel. You know, he taught you everything you needed to know, you know, to get into professional wrestling. I mean, I've only been wrestling for probably just under a year by then, and you know, even I, you know, you go there thinking you know a few things, but you know, he blows you away with even more. And it was even better when we went over there, because we had a lot of Aussies there as well, which made it so much, you know, easier on us.
Was that around the time that Carlo was there? Carlo Cannon?
Yeah. It was Carlo Cannon, Mikey Broderick, Sean O'Shea, wow. The Shark, Gorgeous Gary. They were all there. Even Tennille, who's now gone on to Emma.
Yeah, I hear she's in some big company over in the States. She's doing well, I hear.
Doing all right, I guess.
Oh, well, and also some of the folks that you've sort of had matches with here in Australia, but folks will be well familiar with Chris Masters in 2009. That was when he, I guess that wasn't too long after he left WWE, and it was interesting because he was at, when he left, he was really hitting his stride. Like, it seemed like he was starting to find himself in wrestling, and then he was gone, and it was like, oh damn, he seemed like he was getting it. Now, what was he like to work with, to wrestle with, and also was there anything that you experienced working with him that would blow people's minds, that would actually surprise people?
Well, Chris Masters, seeing him on TV, you know, I was, you know, scared shitless, you know, for my first person, big high name coming down to wrestle. When I met him, he was very laid back guy, easy going, great to get along with. One of the biggest things that surprised me was how light he can throw his body around. He absolutely, like, you know, called me to body slam him. And here I'm thinking, you know, this, you know, 6'5", you know, God knows about 121 kilos, you know, this is going to be hard. Went to pick him up, and he went up like a feather. I could not believe it. It actually blew my breath away, like, how amazing he can throw his body for the size he is.
I guess a lot of wrestlers have that almost an elasticity in their body that sort of just develops just through repetition of doing, you know, doing certain moves and doing just the things that you do every time you're in the ring. Like, it's amazing how, and I mean, my body was not made for it, and that's why after 12 months I was like, nah, get me out of here, I'm no good. But there's folks that, you know, just they just seem to not only get better with time, but then it's just a second nature, you know. They may not work a match for a year or 2 years, and then they come back and they have a five-star blinder, you know, and the crowd loves it and whatnot. It's pretty cool when you see that happen as well.
Yeah, and the thing is, just about the time when I think he made his return back to WWE for that little short stint as well. Like, he was getting phone calls and was telling everyone, "Oh, shush about, you know, certain things, you know, keeping on the low down." And so, you know, he brought that. You know, we were very intrigued to see what happened from there on in. And you know, he's such a great guy. I mean, such a great, like, great athlete as well. But, you know, as well as obviously the physique of him, which is goddamn amazing. You know, not to sound gay, but you know, that I was just staring, especially when he does start doing the pec wobble and stuff.
That's when you go like, oh damn, like, geez, I need to work on the chest. I need to hit that bench.
I was sitting there. I'm like, oh, I'm a pretty tall guy. I'm about 6'4". So I'm like, okay, this guy's going to be, you know, big jacks. And I was like, oh, at least I'll have some height on him. And then he walks straight up to me. I'm like, oh, god damn, he's taller as well.
Are there any wrestlers in particular that you sort of look at and you go, I'd love to work a match with them, like either within Australia in the Perth scene or overseas? Are any guys you think like, or that you think like, yeah, we could really do something cool out there?
Yeah, I've always wanted to wrestle David Storm. You know, I've, you know, good friends with him now, and you know, I see him every time in the ring, and just, you know, I like just everything he puts on the line, all like everything's so crisp and clean. You know, I really love to, you know, get one on one with him. I wrestled Damian Slater a few months ago, which is, you know, another guy that I wanted to wrestle on my list. You know, he was so easy going, like he's an amazing guy as well. Cracker Jack is another one that I would like to wrestle on the line, just to have that crazy brawl, hardcore type. You know, I like to get physical as well, get a bit hardcore every so often. So I like to, you know, see what I can do. There's a lot on the list, but you know, just off the head, that's only three of them.
I know what you mean by Slater, like, because we had him down here in Wright City the last couple of shows as well, and I'm sure we'll see him again this year, but. He brings just a positivity to the place. You know, most of the time he's got a smile on his face and he's in a good mood, and there's something, and it's so subtle, but there's something there that I think can really lift people up backstage, and then in turn, you know, you're going to go out there and naturally you're going to have fun because you're in a good mood. It's like, oh god, yeah, we're all right, we'll put on a show, but you know, I'd rather be at home watching Breaking Bad, you know. So like, he really seemed to bring a good vibe, you know.
Well, that's it. Like, just in wrestling, you just got to have fun, and you know, have fun with it. You know, if you are going there and you're, you know, thinking all about just that Breaking Bad episode and that you need to get back, you know, you're probably not in there for a good, you know, for a good reason. You know, we all do it mainly for, you know, to have fun, to entertain, and then, you know, and Damian Slater does bring that, you know, positively to the locker room, and you know, go out there, have fun. That's the main thing.
That's it. Yeah, there's nothing like when you're having fun out there, and then you're just like, oh yeah, that felt good. That felt really good putting on that show. Totally. I know exactly what you're saying. And so Southern Hemisphere Wrestling Alliance, we've got a show coming up in March very, very soon. Can you tell the folks about that and your matchup?
Yeah, we've got one on the 14th, which is next Saturday, the Brown Park Rent Center. I do believe I will be teaming up with the rookie Liam Mandel. At the moment, unsure of who our tag opponents will be, but I think it's for the tag tournament to crown the new tag team champions. Cool. So definitely looking forward to it.
And EPW Perth, what have we got coming up over there in the near future?
Well, we got EPW have a show this weekend on Saturday. I'll be teaming up with Dan Moore and Hayden Dennis to take on Team Don. Looking forward to that one, definitely. I don't mind the good old multi-man matches. You know, you get to breathe a bit more, have a bit of fun as well with it.
Do you prefer one-on-one matches to tags or vice versa? Or is it, I mean, obviously they both have something to give as, a worker and the crowd. But is there one that you prefer over the other? Or do you sometimes think like, oh, yeah, I'll sit on the apron for a while, wait for that hot tag? I don't mind.
They both have, their positives and negatives. Definitely the singles match where, all eyes are on yourself and the opponent. And then you're going out there painting the picture. It's fun to have the multi-man matches every so often, just be more, throw more character out there and, not go out and beat yourself up as much, especially if you've been wrestling multiple weeks in a row and then you need that little rest.
You've wrestled outside of WA as well. I'm just looking here. We've got PWA, we've got Snake Pit, we've got AWF in New South Wales. Are you looking to get out to more interstate promotions, or is the focus on WA this year?
Well, at the moment, I'm very focused on WA and almost bringing those companies together. Wrestling for three different companies, wrestling nearly every weekend. And that's, what I'm trying to do as much as I can, wrestle as many matches as I can to the point where I decide to hang up the boots.
Is there anything that, what you do with your matches and how you sort of do things out there and you think, I need to work on this more, or maybe there's a particular part of your game that really shines that people can sort of look out for?
Well, I can always do a bit more with the technical side. I'm more of a brawler. I love the brawl. Go out there and be very physical. I like to bring it out of my opponent as well. Tell them to bring it on, just so I can, bring it back. A lot of people enjoy my matches that way because physicality is what I love from the wrestling. And if people are a bit soft on me, I'll be like, come on, bring it. Get that fire, people, and that's what people love.
It's nothing like when you see someone out there and they're, it blurs that line where you're sitting there, you think like, okay, I know that they can pull their punches, but that was fair income. And then it gets people thinking, and sometimes all it takes is one shot, especially if I'll be sitting there watching or calling a match and it's very just straight up and it's very technical and, everybody's just sort of, it's wrestling. And then all of a sudden, someone lays in one massive shot and you're like, hello. It can really wake people up as well. It's incredible what it can do to the senses. Just that one big strike out of nowhere. It's pretty cool.
Definitely. And that's one of the things that people definitely look forward to my matches, getting that physicality on, but also my finishing maneuver, which is called the Dust Boot, is one of the things that the crowd look for now, because it is one of the most devastating moves in my repertoire. And it's just a straight running boot, and it just cleans the head off every time, pinpoint accuracy. People always want chanting your Dust Boot. They want to see that. They want to see someone get cleaned up with that maneuver.
It always seems to get people, or even take the wind out of the audience, is when they see a massive big boot out of nowhere. It's like, holy Jesus Christ.
Yeah. I've always liked it when watching Test, when he had the big boot. Every time I saw that, I was just like, wow, that guy's KO'd. He's got to be. Because, he just came out in such velocity, and then bam, nails them and they're out for the count. And I was just like, wow, that's something I want to do.
Let's chuck some quick fire questions at you. I was going to start off with favorite wrestler, but I'm guessing it's The Undertaker. So
yep.
Okay, there's that one. Favorite tag team of all time.
Favorite tag team would be Legion of Doom.
I kind of guessed that. I know that you sort of rocked the face paint and the spikes. I mean, I remember, geez, when I was, I would have been about 9 or 10 years old, and there was a tour that down here called Wrestle Riot, and all these ex WWF guys were on the tour, and Hawk wrestled Smash from Demolition, and having seen them like wrestle on VHS tapes for, you know, 2 or 3 years, and then seeing them in person, it was like, holy shit, that was legit superheroes coming to life right in front of you. That was amazing.
Yeah, no, I always loved them. They're such big men, and they just, again, they were very physical, especially Hawk. And like, yeah, they had that big character, the big persona, and you know, you cannot not be drawn to that.
Totally. Favorite match or show, like pay per view or match that you're down in the dumps. You want to sit down and be cheered up by wrestling. That's the one you put on.
Oh, so many. Like if someone says like something fake, you know, definitely that Undertaker Mankind Cage, you know, like, you know, they might, you know, they can't say that that's fake when watching that.
Because the drama of it as well, like when he gets stretchered out and then he's coming off the stretcher and he's pushing away his best mate Terry Funk, and he's just got that look in his eyes, and JR's is like, don't do it, Mick, like he's almost like pleading with him, like, come back on, you're insane, you know. It really told an amazing story. Like,
When I was watching, I even turned to my mate. I was just like, are you goddamn kidding me? He's getting up. Like, that, you know, the classic, like, that'll kill a normal person, or, you know, and it's just like, there he goes, up he goes, and down he comes again. It was just like one of those matches, like, yeah, you show people, and even they're amazed by it, no matter what.
That's it. That's when they go, like, okay, maybe it's not so fake after all. Okay, I'll give you that one.
Yeah.
Awesome. Favorite entrance theme?
Oh, favorite entrance theme. Like, again, like, because I was a big fan of the Undertaker, like, that song always, you know, gave me goosebumps when the bell tolled. The Road Warriors, with that, what a rush, and, you know, bam, you know, hairs are on your arm go up, you know. But even like, you know, songs these days, I'm a huge fan of like Hideo Itami in NXT, you know, Finn Balor's song.
Itami's has got that like Black Sabbath vibe about it. It's got that real dark, like, oh, okay, here comes trouble.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Like songs that, you know, like get your, you know, blood pumping, you know, that, you know, it doesn't have to be metal, but, you know, some type of rock, you know. Not just like, you know, I don't know, there's some crap these days that's bullying me.
Favorite band?
Metallica is my favorite band.
Favorite Metallica album?
Oh, that's a tough one. I know, you know, some people might kill me, but I was a huge fan of the Black Album.
It's one of those ones where if you're going to introduce somebody to the band, like, that's the one that you that's the one you play for.
Oh, definitely. Like, Sad But True is one of my favorites of all time.
Favorite film?
I was a huge fan of 300. Huge fan. Just, I don't know, just that one of those action movies. Just, you know, not sounding gay, but a big gay guy, big buff dude, just going out there and slaughtering like thousands and thousands of enemies.
all oiled up, wearing tiny outfits. I say, as well, actually, when you think about it, it's just like pro wrestling. So, hey.
Yeah, that's probably why it dragged me to it more.
Oh, wow. And what's the meal that you go for after a show? Because I know everybody loves to pig out after they've had a big match and a top night at a wrestling show. What's the go-to food of choice?
I go to McDonald's and get myself a Big Mac just by itself. That's my, like, hey, you've done well tonight.
Just one Big Mac, that's taking it easy.
Yeah, well, usually most of the time I'm eating backstage, just snacking. And I don't like to eat a lot, you know, a whole lot, and it's just enough to, you know,
get by, and then just so I can come home and dive in straight back to bed.
In moderation, folks. That's the lesson of the day right there.
Yeah, that's it.
And your dream match. So you're going to book the dream match. Who is it? What's the stipulation? Who goes over, and at which event is it?
I've always wanted to see the Undertaker take on Sting. Bit devastated that, you know, they got Sting versus Triple H at this year's WrestleMania. That was my dream match. You know, watching Sting in WCW was one of my favorites because it was very close to The Undertaker. I like those type of characters. And, you know, that's always been a dream match. I've always wanted to see those two go at it. You know, at WrestleMania, the biggest stage of them all would be the greatest thing. Any type of match, I wouldn't be, you know, very fazed. I'll just be, like, losing my mind. And, well, you know, since he's my favourite, I'll put The Undertaker over.
It's a shame they it really is a shame they didn't do it a couple of years ago when it was like when everybody was sort of talking about it and it was the hot rumor even last year, you know, it was all this thing of like, okay, is it going to be Sting and Taker and yeah, I don't know, just it seems like now with Sting coming back it almost feels like it's just filling that gap, you know what I mean? They thought, okay, well, what's going to be the best scenario? And sure, Triple H is going to, he'll probably get a 4-star match out of it at Mania because it's just, it's Triple H, you know, love him or hate him, in the ring he's he really knows what he's doing, and he can control that crowd, you know, he can really get people in the palm of his hand and take it where he wants. I mean, I think it would still be a good match, but yeah, I reckon Taker and Sting would have been the one, because then I reckon Sting could have come back and just done that one match and everyone would be happy, you know.
Yeah, definitely, just that one, and you know, just to get that nostalgia, like, hell, they could like stand in the ring and look around, like the whole Rock and Hogan at 18, they could look around for 20 minutes, I wouldn't care. It's just that nostalgia of having, oh my god, like, this is like the darkest character from WWE and the darkest character from WCW, and they're gonna go at it and, you know, see who's the ultimate dark person, you know. And like, if that was, I reckon that would have been a lot better. You know, everyone's always wanted that type of matchup. I mean, I'm not saying that Triple H is not going to pull off a good match with him. I think it's going to be amazing, nonetheless. But you know, that's the match I think most people have always wanted to see. And well, unfortunately, you know, even if they end up doing it in the future, it might be just too late, unfortunately.
At least we're going to get the Stinger this year, so it's, hey, glass half full. Yeah, look at it that way.
Oh, that's it, man.
Well, look, it is getting mighty late over on this end, and I think we might have to wrap it up, but I want to thank you very much, Jared, for coming on the show. And before we do let you go, if we just wanted to give you the opportunity to get your plugs out of the way, where folks can find you on social media and all that sort of jazz. Plus, again, remind us where we can see you in action.
Well, yeah, well, EPW Gold Rush this Saturday, Southern Hemisphere Wrestling Alliance, on the 14th and next Saturday. You can catch me on Facebook. You know, that's probably around about it, really. I don't have a lot of things on social media. I like to keep it just to the one. You know, I've got a busy life, so I can't always be on everything.
No worries. Well, thank you very much, Jared, for coming on to Wrestle Radio Australia. All the best in Southern Hemisphere Wrestling Alliance and EPW Perth. Folks, check them out on Facebook and Twitter. And yeah, just all the best, mate. We hope to chat to you again sometime in the near future. That'd be awesome.
Definitely, mate. Thank you for having me on.
Dan and Carl Zion guys. That's the new intro.
That's it.
Dan and Carl Zion guys.
We are back. If you want to hear that new intro whenever you want, you can go to dancarlzeitgeist.com. Where else can you go? Carl, where are we now? What's new? What's the new website that we're a part of?
Dan and,
come on, mate. Don't fuck it
Dan
up.
DanandCarlZeitgeist.org.
Nope. It's FNX.network. We're now available on the FNX network. Oh, shit. I assume that it's like supposed to be Australian slang. Like FNX. network.
What do you mean FNX?
Like FN's supposed like to be like short for fucking, and like X, I don't know, is, I don't know,
what's
sex
that short
or something.
For?
Extreme, maybe? Maybe Extreme?
FNX.
Extreme starts with an E, though, so it should be FNE, but you know.
No, but you know how it works. We'll talk. Like we'll, X Games, that's Extreme Games.
Yeah, but I also have a problem with X Games, because again, it starts with an E, and they said I couldn't join because I couldn't rollerblade, technically.
What about Xmas?
So we're also still available on Stitcher, available on SoundCloud, and you can buy a shirt and you can support the show at redbubble.com/people/DNKZeitgeist. I don't even know if that's correct, but maybe we should just get started.
This is Jake Johnston with the world's almost finest podcast, reminding you that if you love listening to discussions around movies, TV, video games, comic books, and all kinds of other awesome stuff, then head on over to fnx.network and click on the world's almost finest. Give us a shout out, let us know what you think. Listen to our episodes, we got plenty on there to go through. The world's almost finest podcast, a proud member of the FNX Network.
Good time here at Wrestling Radio Australia. Big thank you to Jared Slate and, of course, Brooksy. All the best this Sunday, mate, when you tie the knot with Kellyanne. She's a great girl and you're a great dude. I couldn't imagine a better couple than you two guys. And, yeah, just seeing your relationship grow to what it's become now, just phenomenal. So, yeah, all the best, guys. Have a great day. Remember, if you want to check out Jared Slate in action, it's EPW Perth this Saturday night, March 7th, at the Cyril Jackson Rec Centre in Bassendean, WA. And just announced an awesome matchup, TMDK's Marcus Pitt going up against Davis Storm of The Solution. Look out, two of the fiercest factions, you know, groups in EPW history colliding right there. Check that out if you're in WA, and also Southern Hemisphere Wrestling Alliance, Brown Park Rec Centre in Swanview, WA. That is March 14th. So if you want your fix of Jared Slate and you want to check him out, or if you're new to Jared and you found out about him today and you want to see what he's all about, go there and see him in action. Folks, please subscribe to the show, whether it's iTunes, Stitcher, fnx.network. You can subscribe to the RSS there. Leave us a rating and a review. And to all of the Aussies out there, if we actually encourage you to check out indie wrestling in Australia, tell the folks on the door that you heard about it on WRA. Why not? Let them know that, hey, we're doing our bit. And, you know, just a way of getting the word out there, I guess. So that'd be really cool. And when you do subscribe, you'll hear our older editions, of course, with Jay Hunter from OSW Review. That was out earlier this week. An amazing chat with one of my favorite podcasters, and my buddy Frank joined us for that one. Of course, so many downloads already, it's just ridiculous. So check that out. It's a great chat. And yeah, heap of great Australian wrestling talent. Plus our YouTube channel. Just search Wrestle Radio Australia on YouTube and you'll find more than 20 older interviews from 2013 and 2014. Plus a few little skits there that I've thrown together over the times as well. So massive shout out to Thunderstag for our theme music, Dane Davies, the Flipmaster, for our main logo, and of course Jared Slate and Brooksy. Adam Brooks, all the best, mate. FNX.network and facebook.com/Australian Indie Wrestling, at AU Indie Wrestling on Twitter. You guys are awesome, but you know it most of all. As always, I want to thank you for listening. Until next time, I'm Josh Armour, and this has been Australia's wrestling podcast, Wrestle Radio Australia. Dum dum da dum, dum dum da dum.
Saints and sinners, lovers and losers, cuts and run wild with the hounds of hell. Brothers and sisters, show no mercy. Kiss your sons and your daughters goodbye. Been there, done that, heard it all before. Up and spit out, we won't take no more. If you wanna live, you're gonna have to fight. Every day's a Friday, every night's a Saturday night. Yes, well, the action is, if you want some, come and get some. Here's where the action is, but you better be ready to take some.
where the action is. Here's where the action is. Here's where the action is.
Hey everyone, I'm Todd Eastman, and every fortnight the Big Ballers and I bring you the Big Ballers podcast, where we talk NBA news, trades, and anything else related to basketball. We're insightful.
Lance Stephenson, he's going to be an all-star this season.
Serious.
I've got a certain spot to fill, but Miller usually fills it with a D.
Sounds pretty fluent to me.
Nah, that's been edited.
Professional.
Harrison Barnes. Dude, follow me again. There's no need to unfollow me. I'm sorry for whatever I did.
And most of all, welcoming to new fans.
Anyone that is not a basketball fan, that is all of a sudden a basketball fan looking for a team, this is what I say to you. We don't want you.
You can find us on iTunes, Stitcher, FNX.network, or anywhere you can listen to podcasts. That's the Big Ballers podcast. Like sitting next to a bunch of guys in the pub who think they know about ball.
Do you love great podcasts? Do you love great Australian podcasts? Of course you do. Australians make incredible podcasts. And if you want to stay up to date with the best Australian shows, then check out Oz Podcasts. Look for us on social media and find your new favourite show from the Australian podcast directory on ozpodcast.com.au. That's OZPODCASTS, ozpodcast.com.au. Check it out.